First of all, I should have, at the beginning, welcomed all of you who are here for the SLU homecoming. It is a real grace to have you all here. I hope you really do feel yourself at home this weekend, especially here at College Church. Now, let me begin this homily with a confession. Yesterday, I went to see Downton Abbey, a two-hour-long soap opera. Not great cinema, but a lot of fun. But there was a point in the film that touched me, especially as I was pondering these readings. They're at a lunch in Downton Abbey, and the king, George V, is sitting next to Lady Grantham. And he looks at the table and says, "Now, what was the impact on all of you of the general strike? There had been an extraordinary strike a year before that really shook the bases of England, of the United Kingdom." And Lady Grantham looks up and says, "Well, my maid was a little snippy." That was her world, completely self-contained, about what the impact was on her, even though England was going through an extraordinary time of great change between the wars. Amos would have understood her. Amos, who talked to the people, the elites of his time, and said, and called them complacent, ordered, pleasant, self-contained, really with a world contained in herself and those in her immediate circle. The challenge is, who cares? Who will, in fact, speak a word that can bring some new life where there is only challenge? There's no wonder Amos speaks such harsh words. But maybe it's important to think about Amos's charge about complacency as we read this gospel. It is easy to look at this parable and figure that this guy, whoever he is just a miserable, terrible sinner who really deserves to go to hell. That's not what the gospel says, however. He would have been seen as a fine, upstanding citizen in some ways and probably regularly went to synagogue. And yet, the parable tells us that he is a man who is complacent. He lives in terms about what he riches, about what he owns, what he wears, what he eats. But his heart is unmoved by the one at his gate. He is completely happy in himself, but with a world that's so narrow. He doesn't even see Lazarus until he's dead and in hell. And then he looks up and says, "Oh, by the way, Lazarus, please send him here to put some water on my tongue. Or please send him to my brothers." Now, because he's important to this man's world, now he sees Lazarus. But before, who cared? This was, for the people of Jesus' time, especially for the Pharisees who are hearing this, this was a shocking parable. And in many ways, it should shock us in terms of asking us how we live. It certainly does for me. It reminded me of a passage from Pope Francis. "The great danger in today's world is desolation born of complacency, of pursuit of pleasure, of a blunted conscience, where our inner life becomes caught up in our own interests and concerns. There's no room for others, no place for the poor. God's voice is no longer heard. The quiet joy of his love is no longer felt." The Pope goes on to say that this is not simply for other people, but he says it is a challenge for believers, for us too, because it is part of the world in which we live, a world in which all too often the doors are closed to those around us. This is an interesting man. He's not given a name. He's the only one in this gospel without a name. It's as if there's something missing in his humanity, something indeed profound. And we're given, on the other hand, the image of Timothy, as Paul writes to him, a man full of gratitude and joy, a man called to edify others, to build up a community that can reach out to others. Two very different visions, two very different ways forward. Where Timothy is called to gratitude, In some ways, this rich man is called to entitlement and to desire for more, what comes at the next meal. Where Timothy is called to joy, this man seems called to pleasure. Where otherness and building up a community is the focus on Timothy, there's something so narrow about the world of this man. And Luke, in fact, invites us in a context of several of the parables to compare this man with the father in the prodigal son, one who is still grateful for the son who has betrayed him, one who is overjoyed when the son comes back, one whose door is never closed but is out there actually looking for his son when he returns. Two very different visions. Which will we choose? The gospel would have stunned the people of his time, Jesus' time, Pharisees and disciples as well. It's such a very different take on the world, a desire to move beyond comfort and security into real discipleship with the Lord, one that can help create a different world, a world at peace with God, a world of the reign of God. As I prayed with this, I realized it has implications for us as well, certainly for me. Because the question can often be, am I complacent? Where do I have those at my door and yet am not moved? I think, for example, of the reality of climate change. It's easy to see what's happening and its effect. And I can often say, gee, what are they doing about it? Whoever they are. But what about my lifestyle? Am I attentive to the generations to come who are at my door, to those who are nameless to me and sometimes perhaps faceless, but who nonetheless are meant to open my heart to a change of how I live, to a change that opens up something new for myself and for others? There are so many ways in which each of us are called to a fuller life. And it's important to realize that the call here is not to guilt. It's not to sort of say, oh, what a miserable person I is, but to conversion, to a recognition that what God has in store for us is so much more than what we settle for, that it is a world in which God's Spirit is meant to be lavished upon us so that we know and share in God's desire for the world, in God's desire for us, which is so much more than we usually imagine. The heart of our Christian faith is life in abundance, life beyond complacency, life in gratitude, in joy, and in community. And certainly as we celebrate homecoming today, we remember that the heart of Jesuit education is the desire to create women and men for and with others, those who can touch a world and transform it, and in the process be transformed themselves. So maybe today, as we celebrate Sulu's homecoming, as we remember this place as a home, maybe we can hear the call of the gospel to open our hearts, to open our homes, beyond the complacency and security that sometimes we can take for granted, to that space that offers so much more for us and for others, a space that is grateful, joyous, creative, and that gathers a community, a place in which the risen Lord dwells and delights.